Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. When I was alone, you took me in your sweet family and gave me new hope that I could live eternally. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snare, trials seem so hard to bear, and that's that I reach for, that hand I know is always there. And finding he still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared
me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord.
Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's then that I reach for that hand I know is always there. And finding he still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Oh, Herr Jesus, du bist wahr, das man dich glauben darf, das man dich beständig loben darf. Niemand ist so gut wie du, meine Seele aus dir zu, meine Seele aus dir freudig zu. Von der Erde reißt mich los, meinen Glauben groß. Geh mir einen treuen Sinn, nehm mich ganz mein Jesus hin. Deine Hand hat mich gemacht, wunderbar ans Licht gebracht, wunderbar ans helle Licht gebracht. Und dein Blut hat mich erlöst, dass ich ewig sei getreut, dass ich nun auf ewig sei getreut. Von der Erde reißt mich los, meinen Glauben groß. Geh mir einen treuen Sinn, nehm ich ganz mein Jesus hin. Du drei blickest du mich an, sagst mir, dass ich kommen kann, sagst mir, dass ich zu dir kommen kann. Und dass du der Sünden schuld nicht gedenkst nach deiner Huld, nicht gedenkst nach deiner Gnaden Huld. Von der Erde reiß mich los, meinen Glauben groß. Geh mir einen treuen Sinn, nehm ich ganz mein Jesus hin. Hol drei Blickes du mir an, sag's mir, dass ich kommen kann, sagt mir, dass ich zu dir kommen kann und dass du der Sündenschuld nicht gedenkst nach deiner Huld, nicht gedenkst nach deiner Gnadenhuld. Von der Erde reiß mich los, meinen Glauben groß, gib mir einen treuen Sinn, nehm ich ganz mein Jesus hin. There is an unseen hand to me, it leads me ways I cannot see. While going through this world of woe, this hand that leads me as I go, I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that stream, still guided by the unseen hand. This hand has led through shadows drear, and while it leads, I have no fear. I know it will lead me to that home where sin or sorrow e'er can roam. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. I long to see my Savior's face and sing the story saved by grace. And there upon that golden strain, I'll praise Him for His guiding hand. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strain, still guided by the unseen hand. I long to see my Savior's face and sing the story saved by grace. And there upon the golden strain, I'll praise Him for His guiding hand. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that stream, still guided by the unseen hand. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. I stand in the living sacrifice, the only source of life. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. His tender mercy Blessed to come with every rising sun, to meet the sinner and his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness, and those who trust in him will find their hearts at rest. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. His tender mercy come with every rising sun to meet the sinner and his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness, and those who trust in him will find their hearts at rest. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, that you want God's bosom to be your pillow, hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, and the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. He is sounded for the trump that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. The word is marching on. We have to march on with it. Mm-hmm. Well, we were on a thought yesterday. Genesis. God laid down the law. We're talking more or less about that laws are perfect. God's laws are perfect. Mm-hmm. If you and I can only abide by that word, that's why we're putting all our effort in to try to try to stay with the Word, mm-hmm. because you'll never go wrong if you stay with the Word. That's why the truth is marching on. That's why you and I, we put so much effort in. Stay with the Word, because at the end of the day, the Word will have the final say so. Yeah, there's not too many people that will agree with us, but see, we're just staying with the Word, because we know everything else is going to, the Word of God abide forever, you know. And I was on this talk yesterday about what happened back in Genesis, and then you know the story, but there was a planet out here, it was just floating out here in space, completely null and void, useless. It, like I said, it'd been destroyed. Number of times, God, when God created the heavens and the earth, but the planet Earth is, it's a laboratory, it's a testing station. To test, first of all, he tested the angels, and then angels and Jude fell, and then he put them into everlasting chains of darkness, but then he had to make a hell, put a place for them, and then when he was done with that, he recreated it again and brought life in again and brought the dinosaurs back and resurrected that whole, they were at a frozen state, and he brought it back in again. But this time he's going to test these morning stars, Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. And then he tested them, and then Lucifer, one day he decided he's going to go up against God and unseat God and take over the universe. Well, it didn't work out the way he thought it would, and then the Lord called him in check, and then he had to destroy that whole animal kingdom again, the planet again, and then he put Lucifer and all those that stood with Lucifer, he put them into judgment. Looks like he's going to bring judgment on America with all these Democrats and all these that support these crooked Democrats. They don't want law and order, and he's going to be the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and it's going to not go the same place. He's going to go the same thing, like back then in the days of Lucifer, when he decided to go up against God. All these angels that were siding with Lucifer, they evolved into demons. That's where we talked the other day. That's where the demons come from, because they didn't hold on. They defied God. They rebelled against God. And that's what happens when you rebel against truth, when you rebel against the Word of God. You become an obstacle to God. You become a rebel, and that's, we're all prone for that. If we don't watch ourselves, we all become rebels, and we all become enemies of God if we don't stay with the Word. So you and I, we have to stay with the Word. That's why we're doing what we're doing, because we see things in Scriptures. That's why we have to seek our own salvation with fear and trembling. We can't pass the buck on anybody else. We got a responsibility. Each one of us has a responsibility for ourselves. We just happen to find some things out that we never know, and we never found that out in these clubs and these religious systems, because the Satan is the head. The devil will make sure you never come to the knowledge of the truth. Like it says, always learning, but you really never come to the knowledge of the truth. And see, here we're, the Lord put us on this course, and took us through this schooling, and now we're just trying to tell people what's going on, what has been going on. Like, mm-hmm. I see, this planet was out here, been destroyed twice already, now God's going to bring it back into relationship with the sun, and I don't know where it was. All I know, it was in a deep freeze. It was frozen up. It was null and void. It was useless. It was a useless planet just floating around here, but the potential of the planet still was to be a laboratory, and then all God had to do, had to bring it back then to 360 days before the flood. There were 360 days to the year. And all God did, he brought it back. Like I say, I don't know where it was before that. All I know, it was in a deep freeze. And then he said, let there be light, and all of a sudden, what happened when God said, let there be light, he brought it back into relationship with the sun, and then the sun began to shine on that planet, and eventually the ice started melting and all that stuff, and then he went to the next stage, and then the next, and separated the light from the darkness, and then finally he came to a place where he made
He created an animal kingdom. He didn't really create. He resurrected that animal kingdom that was in these in a frozen state, and he put a different spirit in them. Now there's still dinosaurs around, but they're these little lizards. They're harmless. They can't go out there and destroy like they did in the prehistoric world. Mm-hmm. See, you and I, we know all that. We learned that when the Lord brought us to the ministry of Brother Brennan, especially Brother Jackson, when he told us about the prehistoric. Yeah, he took us back into the prehistoric hour.
Because Brother Jackson went into, like, the recreation days, like 6,000 years after recreation days or seven, when God rested. So you can see that before God created anything, everything was created in the spirit, first of all. So that's why the seven recreated days, six, and then God rested. And then after he rested, that's when he created man. So it took 7,000 years until, like, the earth and the sun and everything was back in its alignment. And because, like you said, when God judged it from the animal kingdom, from what the angels did, that earth was somewhere out in deep space, in a frozen state. And then because it was null and void, there was judgment on the earth. And then God said, let there be light. That means something started activating. Mm-hmm. When he said, let there be light, and then things started moving and positioning themselves into place, the planets. And it was all bringing that earth back into its alignment, and so that it can warm up again in order for God to put another creation here on earth. And it took 7,000 years for that all to happen before it was prepared enough to bring man. But before he did that, like you said, there was animal kingdoms, like the animal kingdom was already here on the planet. But first of all, he created the spirit, and then after he created man, that animal kingdom was brought forth, because it says, and the earth brought forth, the sea brought forth.
Yeah, they were frozen up. And like when you put the, like, just use common sense. When you, everything is frozen up, like just in the spring, you know, like the flowers, everything is frozen up for the winter, and then in the spring the sun shines on it, and everything comes back to life. And the birds, they go south, where some of the birds, they're not meant to be for the winter, so they go south, and then the spring they come back again, and that's all God did. He recreated, because, like you were saying, and the water brought forth, and the air, the ground brought forth trees, and all that seed that was in the ground, but all God did, he brought in an environment, he brought the planet back so he could use it once again as a laboratory, as a testing ground, and then he put man on it. And it's a very simple process. It's all common sense.
It is, and you can see the principle of God. God is not magic. How he works in a process. He didn't just boom and it was there. It was all working towards a process of towards the finished product. He never saw it that way. Like, first of all, Brother Brenham said he believed the seed was all in the earth from a pre-existing creation. From a former civilization. That is from that animal kingdom that God used to test the angelic femical. And that seed was already in the earth. And before that, even Brother Jackson said, he started reading the early church writers, and some of them, they believed that the recreation days was 6 days, just literal 6 days. But there were some that actually believed they were 6,000 years, because when you go to the writings of Peter, he said that one day is with the Lord is a thousand. So when you take all that and you started working on the principle of God, how he does things, how he works in a process, then you can see how God slowly, when he said, let there be light, things started moving. But mm-hmm. it took a thousand years for each recreative days in order to come to the finished product. That's why it says, and the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the first, it's the second day. See how God does it. He does everything so, like, there's an emotion to it. It's mm-hmm. not magical. People, they don't understand that how God works in his principle, in his statutes. There is a process how he does things. He's not the kaboom and the earth was just there where it was supposed to be. It was working towards it.
Amen. And it took a thousand years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like I say, I don't know where the plan was, but it took time for it to come back in relationship with the sun. And then as the sun was beating on that ice, and it took a process of thousand years until he went into the next phase, and mm-hmm. then the next phase, and then it took 6 days to do all that, and then finally, then he rested. When everything was done, like you were saying, he created everything in the spirit. There was dinosaurs even in the prehistoric, and the dinosaurs were just, he just resurrected that dinosaur, but he didn't have that wild nature anymore because he created a new spirit in it and put that, resurrected that dinosaur. And you can go to some countries and you'll see that dinosaur. It's just a little lizard. He's harmless. And the same with the horses and everything else. He just resurrected everything and he put a different spirit. He did put that same spirit that they had in the prehistoric where they were just, the animal kingdom back in the prehistoric, they got so bad that not only the dinosaurs were killing each other, the whole animal kingdom, because these angels and Jude and all these angels, they started messing with the reproductive program. So to the point where, like the Bible says, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He messed with the genetics, and then he got these animals into a wild rage, and they were more or less serving the devil, and they would mm-hmm. you do like they did back in the with the gladiators and these Colosseums and Rome. How they just put people against each other just to kill, just a desire to kill. And that's how the whole planet was completely so bad that all these animal kingdoms, animals started killing each other, and then God brought judgment on it and had to destroy it because it was useless. It would have self-destructed eventually. Mm-hmm. God put a stop to it, and then he got the perpetrators and with the devil and all these that supported the devil. There's a lot of angels. They liked that kind of stuff too, and they sided with Lucifer, and then when God called it into check, he just gave Lucifer his sentence, and then all these that supported Lucifer, they went with him. He didn't even say nothing. Just Lucifer and all his thugs, they went with him because they were wicked, and they evolved into demons. Mm-hmm. And Lucifer, he evolved into Satan. He wasn't called Satan before that. He was called Lucifer, son of the morning. And see, you and I, we could go back and get the whole program right at our fingertip. It's all normal common sense. And then what happened then before the flood, there was 360 days to the year, and then what God did, he brought everything back to normal. He's gonna use this planet again, and then he put Adam and Eve in the garden. But then we said the other day, Satan came along and used that serpent-like creature to defile Eve. He had to get to Eve, and then I'll show you something here why it's so important to stay with the Word of God. Because when God came on the scene and he gave a sense, like I said yesterday, as long as Eve was in the loins of Adam, God said it was good. But the minute he took Eve out of the loins of Adam and separated the feminine part from the masculine part, the Adam was masculine, and then he took Adam was both masculine and feminine. But when God put him to sleep, deep sleep as well, he took the woman, he took the feminine part out of Adam, and then he made a woman out of her, and then he brought the woman to Adam, and then there was his mate. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But I want to get to something here, if I'd be able to bring it out. And then when God comes on the scene, and he said to the woman, see, the only safety, I want to show you where the safety is for the woman. Because still, God's program still goes on. And unto the woman, he said, as God now, he's coming on the thing, he gives the serpent his sentence. The serpent was an upright creature, and he set out his sentence, and he cut off his legs and his vocal cord, and he evolved into a serpent. He wasn't a serpent before that. He was the highest form of animal life, but once God came on the scene, and the devil used the serpent to do his dastardly thing, to have an intimate relationship with Eve, and then after that, God came on the scene, and he took that serpent, and he turned him into a reptile. He wasn't a reptile before that. You just gotta get the picture right. When we grew up, we were all taught it was a snake and all that stuff. But as the Lord brought us to the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jack, we learned all these things because we were willing to be taught. And then, like I say, he was a serpent. He was a servant. He was an upright creature mm-hmm. before he came on. Before he fell. And then when God came on the scene, the first thing he did, he took his vocal cords away from him, he took his feet away from him, he took his sex organs away from him, and now he turned him into a reptile, and he's going to stay a reptile throughout the millennium. He'll never come back again. But unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. See, now, I'm trying to get to it. There's safety in a woman. She can't be on her own anymore. The Lord changed that mode up till then. Before that, they were equal footing. There was no such a thing as lording over her. But now that she fell, he said, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now there, it's the safety of a woman. Once you get married, that woman, no matter how educated she is, she has to be underneath the man, because therein is her safety. That's what I'm trying to say. There's a safety net for her if she can only get herself to believe where she can be submissive to her husband, just like Sarah, Abram's housefrau, his wife Sarah. She called him Lord no matter what, and she was a prime example for women moving on, like it says here. See, therein is that woman's safety. That's what I'm trying to say. And God, thy laws are perfect. He did it in such a way that if that woman is going to be put under the take orders from her husband, no matter who he is and what he is, God will keep her safe. That's what I'm trying to say. So here it is. Here's right here. Thy desire shall be after thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Just that simple. Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks for another day of life. We just want to stop for a moment in time and look into your word, Lord, and have a little conversation about the way you've taught us and where you brought us from and what you brought us into, Lord. We just never want to take things for granted, Lord. We just pray you just continue to inspire us, allow us, lead us with the depth of your eyes, Lord, because we have nothing of our own, Lord. We're totally dependent on you to give us something to talk about on a day-to-day basis. Give us the understanding. Help us to say the right words at the right way and bring it out so people can understand it in its simplicity, Lord. We know we see the picture, but it's hard for me to express what I see, Lord. And I just pray you just continue to open the hearts of the people and give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
See, and I'm trying to drag everything back in today's hour, like with me, where there was a time I was not married, and there was a time I prayed for a mate, like we've said it over and over again in the past conversations we've had, and then like I say, I got married, and then that's where the Lord told me where to go for a wife, and then it was good. It was the best I knew how. It's the only life I knew. But then there came a day when the Lord, my children are growing up, and the Lord was telling me to, Sam, you need to, before you leave the home, you need to sit down and you need to have devotions with the family. Well, by now I already knew my wife enough. It's going to be a tough time to convince her to do that, but I still tried. I said, I'm going to get a, what I did, I'd start having devotion with the children. She was in the kitchen down there doing dishes, and I started having, spent time with the children there, and because they were all coming up to the age, and then we need to start the day with devotions, just like you and I are doing. We start the day with prayer and with singing. That's what the Lord wanted me to do as a family, and then I ran into some roadblocks because my wife wouldn't let me do it. I don't want to talk about these things, but I'm just telling you how important it is for a woman to be subject to her husband. I knew I was getting directions from the Lord. I said, Sam, it's now time to take charge, and you're going to have to take over, and you're going to have to start the day with having devotions before you leave the home. Before you get out in the morning, you spend a little bit of time in the Word, and then you go out and do your thing throughout the day. So, like I said, I started that, and I run into a problem with the wife, and she didn't want it because I told her about it. Well, we did get raised that way, and my children are not going to get raised that way either. See, all I was doing was following the Lord, because the Lord dealt with me. The Lord moved in me to do that, because every family, that's what every family should do, and just spend time with the Lord when you get up in the morning, bring the family together, just exactly what you and I are doing. God's going to get the job done one way or another. But see, and we had a lot of discussions. I told her about this scripture here. What good God said, that your husband shall rule over you. Well, you're not going to rule me over me if you're a fool. Well, I wasn't a fool. I was just telling her the scriptures. I read that scripture to her time and time again. It didn't just happen overnight. I tried her my level best to get her to see the scripts, via the scriptures, to get to see her my way, because I was trying my level best to follow the Lord. But, you know, then it came to a place where you would sit and argue and debate, and the Lord just told me, okay, you leave it with me, I'll take care of it. I don't want you to argue in front of the children, all that, you know. And the Lord don't want that, arguing around and debating around. And because it sets a very bad example, so I just left it be. Well, you do it your way, and eventually, you know, what happened, you know, eventually the Lord had a different route, because she did not want to be subject to the, like it says here, thy husband shall rule over thee. No matter who it is, even back in the days, you can read it, back in the days of that Naboth or somebody, a very bad guy, and then He was really abusing his wife, but see, her job was, you got to be subject, even though your husband is a fool, you still have to be subject to him. You know the story, I don't know what her name, but it wasn't Bathsheba, it was some woman, and then David took her.
Yeah, Abigail.
Probably Abigail, mm-hmm. Yeah. Her husband was a fool, but she still had to be subject to him, and she went out to meet David so he wouldn't kill her, but mm-hmm. Brought the disaster on it. But anyway, what I'm trying to say, your wife should be subject to us, but God does not like this conflict, this arguing around. He set it in motion. He set it right here. Thy husband shall rule over you. And as long as she does that, as long as she's subject to her husband, we would have had a glorious time. We would have got up in the morning, maybe a little bit earlier than we usually do. And we eventually, what would have happened, we would have had devotions and everything would have flowed perfectly. But both sides have to agree. Everybody, your wife has to agree with you, because you are subject to God, and then God, you're subject to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you're the head of the house. That's the way it's supposed to be. But if there's conflict, and God hates conflict, and he hates these things, But see, eventually, we would have done just like you and I are doing it. But see, God gets the job done anyway. Just when we started debating and arguing around, the Lord just said, just leave it alone. I'll deal with it. And then she You know the story. She had to be there by all by herself. The Lord just took me away from that compound and put me on a different course because my heart was right with the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say. I wanted, know it more than anything, I wanted this intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, you know, God knew all that's going to happen because he had a work for me to do. He had to take me out there and teach me about what God sent the prophet. Probably, I don't know how God would have done. Eventually would have got the job done anyway, but that's the direction it went. My wife never did agree with me, and one of the first things when the Lord began to woke me up one night, 2 o'clock in the morning, Sam, I'm coming soon, she was the first person I told her. Just, as soon as we got up in the morning, I just told her the Lord spoke to me last night. He said he's coming soon. And she looked at me like you know, you're like, how do you explain spiritual thing to a carnal person? Mm-hmm. She thought I was crazy. She thought I heard, they all thought I was crazy anyway, so, mm-hmm. because I did some things that were a little bit off the path, off the outright path, so then she just, oh, it's another one of your movements or whatever, but I know I heard the Lord. The Lord spoke to me, saying I'm coming soon, and she's the first person I told about it, and then as time went on, I went up against these tugs, and she didn't agree. She didn't stand with me, not for one day. And then the Lord took me out to Vancouver. That's where I got involved with the Brother Branham and the message. And then she's the first person. I called her up, and I told her God sent the prophet. And she fought this thing vehemently. Every move I made, everything I did, everything I said, she fought it constantly, was constantly against me because, see, dear, your husband shall rule over you. She never had respect for that scripture. And of course the Lord, he won't stop. He knew I was just trying to follow the Lord. I was trying to follow the word. And then eventually what happened, that's what I did. And eventually, once I found out about it, she's the first person I told to God sending a prophet, that then the Lord set it up so that I'll come into a meeting with these uncircumcised Philistines, with these preachers. You know the story, but I'm trying to get to the, it's very important for a woman to be subject to her husband because therein is her safety. If she sits outside of her place, there's no safety in that. It'll cause chaos. And the family and the whole structure is going to fall apart. And that's what happened to my family. No, I can't even talk to my children. They take sides. They think she was this saintly woman. Well, she was not. She was rebelling against the word of God. And there's nothing I could. I had to do what the Lord requires of me to do. And the Lord put me on this course. And he brought me to the message of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And I had to move on. Yeah, I had to move even. And even if I had to move on by myself, but for years I was all by myself and everybody thought I was crazy. But see, I was following the word of God. I had respect and reverence for the word of God. And eventually the Lord saw that and eventually brought you and I together. And all we're doing, we're just continuing on with the program, with the word of God. And that's just the way it is. And we can't help doing what we're doing, even though we're putting the outs from everybody, we're staying with the word. It's the word that the people ate. We were standing with the truth for our day, and the Lord brought us, and he found us faithful that he would even as much as give us the responsibility and the commission to hold on to the truth that has been firmly established throughout the church age of Laodicea. Then he, like I say, then he brings you on board, and now it's the two of us, because he knew your makeup, he knew your heart, he knew your desire, and then here we are, we're just contending on with the program that God would have used back with my wife and my family, but see, run into chaos, run into problems, and then the Lord had to go a different way, because he knew my heart was right, he knew what my desires were, and like I say, then he brought us together, and now we're just doing exactly what the Lord wanted to do in the first place. God's going to get the job done, and then if we don't do it, he's going to find somebody else to do it, because it's just the way God works. He just not, he's going to get the job done no matter what. Just like he told Queen Esther, just like Mordecai told Queen Esther, God's going to get the job done. If you don't surrender and you don't go up against the king that you were created for, made for such a time as this, then God's going to get the job done one way or another. But you're going to be left out in the cold, and you're going to be hanging. You're not going to get nothing out of it. And you're going to fall into judgment. And here's the same thing. I have to do what the Lord requires of me to do. I can't do nothing else. Even though nobody agrees with me, I still have to do what the Lord requires of me to do. Right now, He wants us to stand for a truth that has been firmly established to the church age of Laodicea. We've got to stand and hold on to the things that we've been taught. The ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. That's the only commission we have. Hold on to the truth that had been given to the church age of Laodicea. That's what we're doing. And then they give us the commission to continue on with the program and to stand for the truth. And then they give us the revelation of the midnight cry. And you and I, we're the only two people of planet Earth out of 8 billion people that can tell the people exactly where we are on time. That's nothing to us. It's just that back then the day came when I had to surrender everything to the Lord. I had to walk away from everything. Just like we said the other day, no man that is willing to give up father, mother, house, children, everything you have to leave it behind for the sake of the truth. And that's what you and I did. We walked away from everything. We didn't even look back. And that's why the Lord found you and I faithful to continue on with the program. If we wouldn't have been found faithful back then, and stood up for truth, and stood up for the Word of God, He wouldn't have found us faithful. We wouldn't be doing this here thing. But see, we had to step one, step two, step three. That's what we had to go through to bring us to where we are today. And now He's given you and I the responsibility and the mandate to hold on to the truth and to deliver the meat in due season and when to send out an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's all that's left here in the closing days of time. It's just that simple.
It's all about keeping a line on the Word of God. You can see it. It's all about the Word of God. When you will go through the church history, back to the early church, and what these the apostles stood for was the truth of the Word of God. Like the Antichrist spirit came in and started messing with the picture. And you can see all through down through time how there were always the men of God, the Waldenses and the Albigenses. So they were throughout, like you can read it in the church history, like around the 11th century or even earlier, there were these men that stood up against Roman Catholic and its false teaching. And that's all we did. We saw a lot of false teachings going on in the Hutterite colony. That's not Bible. It's not biblical to go to the priest and confess your sins. It's not biblical, the Trinity baptism. That is all Catholicism. Even I was reading, like, getting baptized around Easter. That's Catholicism, too. That's what they brought in. So there's a lot of teaching that the Hutterites have that are part of Roman Catholicism, and they just picked up on it, and that's why they never were delivered from Roman Catholicism. They still practice a lot of her teachings and her creeds, and that's what people miss when they don't move on with God, is they are not lined up with the Word of God. That's why God sent the prophet, so that we line up with scripture. And that's all we ever wanted in life. Like when you grow up and you're part of a religious system that is not compatible with the Word of God, something in your spirit does not sit right. You don't feel right about this, because it is all about lining yourself up with the Word of God. If you don't line up with the Word of God, you're out somewhere and you're not in alignment with God. You want to be in alignment with God and what God has for your day and hour with the scripture. And that's why we are where we are today, is because of the Bible and what the Bible says, and people come up with these false, wrong teaching. We could not go along with that. We had to stay with the Word of God no matter what the cost is.
Amen to that. We're just holding a line on the truth. We actually have it easy compared to what
Brother Jackson, Brother Branham, look what they had to go through to hold a line on the truth. Back in their day, for 40 years, they preached their heart out, and all we got to do, we got to, all you and I have to do, we have one commission, hold on to the things that have been firmly established, and if we're going to be faithful in that, like when the Lord woke me up saying, I'm coming soon, and I believed it, and I'm so faithful, and I told my wife, and I told other people, and I lost interest in the things of this world, and the Lord was doing, he was slowly weaning me off that other right thing. And then, like I said the other day, I used to have a drink around 5 o'clock with my brother when we went on a trip. The first thing he'd do, we'd stop somewhere and buy a bottle. And then the Lord, he took away the desire for alcohol from me because he's putting me on a journey now, but he's got to clean up my lifestyle first. And then time and time again, it took a while to get to disconnect myself from the things of this world. And eventually he took me off that compound and set my feet on solid rock, and he took me through the denominational churches to the Pentecostal. It was, when I look back, it was the Lord leading and guiding my life, guided by an unseen hand, and eventually, as time went on, he brought me to the ministry of Brother Branham, and then eventually to the ministry of Brother Jackson. And then when Brother Jackson left the scene, we all were sitting here, we were wondering what's going on, and we were so confused because these preachers now, these Fred Cormier, these James Allen, all these people, they're bringing out teaching that were contrary to the things that we've been taught. And then you were wondering, and the Lord gave you that scripture. Remember the things you've been taught, and hold on to the things you've been taught, and anybody preach contrary, withdraw yourself from them. That's what we did. And eventually, the Lord moved on us to start up this website and this programming. This is all the Lord's doing. We're just following, guided by an unseen hand. And if people want to come on board, we have only one mission. That's the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It never used to be that. But as we were proven to be faithful to the Word of God, to the Word of truth, the Lord just kept evolving and evolving, and finally the Lord gave us the mandate and the responsibility to send out that message, that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever is athirst, let him come. That's the only thing that's left, and all you got to do is believe it, because we did the heavy lifting. We were that oxen that been butchered. You could read it over in Matthew 22, where it says, my oxen have been butchered, my fatling have been killed, everything that had needed to be done. And now we did all the heavy lifting. We did it all for you. All you got to do is come and trust us and believe the Word of God, and it'll take you somehow. It'll happen. It'll take you right to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because he said, at the end of the day, my tables will be full. However that happens, we're just doing our little part here before God shuts everything down. Before that day of the Lord sets in, before that great tribulation sets in, there's going to be a rapture, and they're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And after that, we come back to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful program, but in the meantime, we have to be faithful to the Word of God. No matter if nobody agrees with us. If we stand alone, we stand alone. We just got to be faithful to what the Lord has called us to be. It's just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll give us the grace to continue on with you, Lord, and to hold on to the doctrines that we have been taught, Lord, and to your word, Lord, so that we don't ever let it slip. We just pray, Lord, for people, Lord, that you'll give them, stir their hearts, Lord, to want to get to know you and your word, Lord. We just want to give you thanks for all your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.